Shkoyach Rabbi Grossman. Poiskim b'chvayda achsanya. So there's two Rabbi Grossmans. There's Rav Grossman of the shul, the Rav of the shul, who hosts us almost every year. Last year we missed, Baruch Hashem, we see why. But he hosts us every year, and we owe him a gross yishkoyach for this and other inyanim that he's involved in helping us spread the Dvar HaKashrus in the world. And in the Nanta Yadid, Rabbi Yosef Grossman, as was Ein Gesund and Stark, who, whatever matzav he's in, he thinks about OU 24/7. And he thinks about how we could be mefarsim and educate the world about inyanei kashrus. Davish Tzom gave him gesunte koiches, a sach lange yorin, to be able to be mamshech his avoidus hakoidish. As I was last night, people were asking me, Erev Pesach, there's going to be anybody that comes to the shir? People, it's mamish, the last minute before Yontif. So as I was, somebody asked me that question, and I opened up a Haggadah, and I saw a beautiful vart that I think really answers that question. Everybody knows, the Gemara says, that everybody agrees the Haggadah is maschil b'gnus u'messayim b'shvach. There's a machloikis, what is the maschil b'gnus? One man d'amma holds the maschil b'gnus is metchilo oivda avoyda zara hayavaseinu, and one man d'amma holds that the maschil b'gnus is avodim hayinu. So the mefarshim ask, we can understand that metchilo oivda avoyda zara hayavaseinu, that we had Zaydis, who were Oivdei Avodah Zarah, Nishkan Grace of Kovid. It wouldn't be great on the resume for a Shidduch that the Zaydah Gvein Agalach. But that they were Avodim, what's the Bezoyim? The Eivish sent us to Mitzrayim and we were Avodim. So what's the Bezoyim that's the Maschel B'gnus? So I saw a beautiful word. We know the Pasuk says, that when Eibishter sent Moshe Rabbeinu to Klal Yisrael, v'lo shamu al Moshe mikoytzer ruach. Mikoytzer ruach. What's the taich of koytzer ruach? So when we were young, we taiched in yeshiva koytzer ruach as they were exhausted. They worked so hard. They didn't have any koyach. But I saw the taich of koytzer ruach was that they weren't b'nei Torah. Mikoytzer ruach, when Moshe Rabbeinu came to them with a message that you're going to leave Mitzrayim, you're going to become Avdei Hashem, you're going to be able to be makabel to Torah. They had no shaykhs to Torah. And if they had no shaykhs to Torah, this whole message was lost on them. And that's the bezoyin of being avodim. The bezoyin of being avodim is that if you don't have anything besides your work and you're just gashmias, so what's life all about? But the Eibishter took us out of Mitzrayim. That's pshat. V'chamushim olu b'nei Yisrael Mitzrayim. So the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says, why did the people who died in Mitzrayim die? We know, the Gemara says, v'chamushim, echem l'chamisha, whatever. Why did they die? Everybody was Oivir Avodah Zarah. What differentiated these people from those people? Zot Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. The people who didn't want to leave Mitzrayim, who wanted to stay in that life, you have no reason to leave Mitzrayim. The people who understood L'chol HaPochus, that there's more to life than just work, they were the people that the Eibishter took out of Mitzrayim. And that's what we say, v'afilu kolonu chachamim kolonu nevoinim. Northern Farshim asked, so why should a chacham and noven be exempt from Yitzias Mitzrayim? The answer is punkt fakert. The chacham and noven, the whole Yitzias Mitzrayim was for them. Everybody else, there was no point in Yitzias Mitzrayim if you're not going to become an Oivid Hashem. So it turns out that the whole tachlis Yitzias Mitzrayim is to have shaychus to Torah. So if the whole tachlis is to have shaychus to Torah, the best preparation for Pesach is to come and talk to Dvar Hashem. So as Rabbi Grossman said, those that learn the Daf Yomi, and even if you don't learn the Daf Yomi, now, we just finished, mamish, all the sugyas in the last parak of Masechet Avodah Zarah comes back to all the sugyas about Stam Yenom and Yayin Nesach, sugyas that are very, very negeila halacha l'maisa, that the velt needs to learn the halachas. So as I begin this year, I think it's kedai to begin by reading the words of the Chochmas Adam. Moir de Gevert, it's not a chassidish sefer, it's the Chochmas Adam. How the Chochmas Adam, you can all look it up, in Klal Ayin Hei Sif Aleph, begins the halachas of Stam Yenam. Zok the Chochmas Adam. V'gzeir zuhim v'gzeiris yud ches tevor. This, the gzeir of Stam Yenam is the gzeir from the yud ches tevor. She filu yova Elio. Even if Elio Anovi will come to say, you don't have to follow it. Loi mahani hetel isazeh. There's no hetel for this eser ever. She kfa kibla leim kol yisroel. Gans klayisol is makabal this eser. This is Zusha Stal Yainam, Af Pishu Kal Beine Yoilam. He says already in his times people weren't so makbid. Vidimu Lashar Isid Rabbanan. They think it's an Isid Rabbanan. Al Be'emes Isir Chomim Oid. This is a very serious Isir. Vashoysa Stam Yainam. Somebody who chas v'sholem drinks Stam Yainam. Oike Nishmasoi Mimokam Shnishbo B'Kedusha. We all have a Shaykhis. Terkise shalmala, you drink stam yenom, you lose that shaychus. Ve'en loy chelik loyim haba. Somebody drinks stam yenom, doesn't have a chelik loyim haba. Ve'erichu ma'oy ba'oynezeh ha'mukubolim. The mukubolim speak about the oynish for somebody drinking stam yenom. Ve'nechaba al zeh sefer meyuchud ha'nikra yayim meshumar. There was a sefer that's on the subject. If you learn that sefer, he says, "Ilchapta pachad, megoidul ha'oynish, v'kosu, shekibul biyodam." There's a Kabbalah. Sheshoyse stam yenom. It's hard to read these words. If somebody chas v'sholem will drink stam yenom, yichoshel bevadai livol aramis. K'mar shegazru yenom mishum b'nei seyim. So he says. L'kein kol adam yizah b'zeh ma'oid, l'nafshoy, v'yizar, v'yizke, he says, l'sudus l'v'yosun. You're going to be zoich to the sudus ha'v'yosun, l'yayin ha'mishomer. So he says, a gevaldig schar for keeping this hanhoga, this drabonon, and a geferlecha onshim, chas v'shom, if somebody's not makbid. Parenthetically, not the subject of today's shir. But parenthetically, I'll tell you, everybody wants to hear interesting psokim that we follow at the OU. So, again, I'm Masechet Avodah Zarah sugya, the shayla bishalakim. So, one of the shaylas, most probably commonly asked shaylas when you speak about bishalakim, is the shayla if somebody warms up or cooks a food in a microwave oven. You have a problem with bishlakim. So if you go through the sugyas, it's not for me to say, but if you go through the sugyas and you go through the paiskim, it doesn't seem to be a shaila. But I have to tell you, many years ago, not me, Rabbi Ganak, was Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Orbach, and he asked Rabbi Shlomo Zalman their shaila, what should the OU do regarding bishlakim and the microwave? And it was an incredible answer he gave him. And we follow this answer, Ara Yoy Mazeh. He said, Apidin, microwave should not be a problem with Bishlakim. But he says, I hold that the OU should be Machmer on Bishlakim on a microwave. Why? So he said, I know what's going on in America. He said this probably 30 years ago. Today it's only worse. There's a huge problem in America, in the ganze Welt, of intermarriage. He says, I think that intermarriage comes because people aren't makbid on bishlakim. So you should go and be machmer, maybe we would, even with a halacha doesn't require it. And therefore, even on a microwave, you should be machmer on bishlakim. And it's mamish the vert of the Chochmas Adam. If you're nizr b'stam yenom, you'll be guaranteed not to have these problems. So the Gemara Masechet Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, tells us, Shmuel v'Avlet have a yasli. Shmuel and Avlet, Avlet was a goy, were sitting together. They brought mevushel the gawain, and he knew, this Avlet, the goy, knew that a goy is not allowed to touch wine. He kept his hands off the wine. Amle Shmuel. So Shmuel said, no problem. You could touch the wine. Harei Amru, Yayim Avushal. The halach is Yayim Avushal, Ein B'Mishum Yayim Nesach. And you could gesund the hate, touch the wine, don't worry. And that's the halacha in Shulchan Aruch Yerideya, Simen Kuf Chaf Gimel, Sif Gimel, Yayim Avushal Shalanu, our Yayim Avushal, Shinoga by Akum, that was touched by a goy, mutter. And continues the Shulchan Aruch, Ume'emesai Nikra Mevushal, Mishir Siach Agabe Eish. Yayim Mevushal is considered Yayim Mevushal for when you cooked it on a fire. So there's a very big Mechloikus Rishonim, why there is no problem of Yayim Mevushal, of Stam Yenom, by Yayim Mevushal. The Rambam, in Hilchas Machos Asuris, Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Yud, says the reason there's no problem by Yayim Mevushal is because the only wine that you could have a problem of Stam Yenom, of Yayin Nesach, is Yayin Shiroi L'Nasach Ba'al Gabi Mizbeach, wine that could be put on the Mizbeach, and they didn't put Yayin Mevushal on the Mizbeach. Azoy Zok the Rambam. The Rosh, interesting Rosh, the Rosh says, because Yayin Mevushal is not Shchiach. And Chazal didn't make Milsadoi Shchich like Gozubur Rabbanon. Since it's not common, there's no reason to make an Isser on Yayim Mevushal. Chazal didn't make an Isser. And the Rashba and most Rishonim take a different approach. Their approach is that when wine is cooked, it's not wine anymore. It loses the chshivas of wine. And Chazal only made a gzeira on Stam Yeinu Mishum B'nei Seyem, that we shouldn't associate with the Akum, we shouldn't socialize with Goyim. But on inferior quality wine, Chazal didn't feel the need to make a gzeira because nobody's going to socialize with such wine. Demesis, this Machloikus Rishonim is connected to another Machloikus Rishonim. Again, those of us who learned Masechta Avodah Zarah know that there are many gzeiris in Masechta Avodah Zarah that are negeya to the Yesoidus of Hilchas Kashrus. We're talking today about Stam Yenom, but there's a gzeira on Bishlakum, there's a gzeira on Pas Palter. But what makes the gzeira of Yayin, Stam Yenom, different than all the other gzeiris Chazal is that Stam Yenom is not only also that you're not allowed to drink Stam Yenom, it's also b'maga. As soon as a goy touches the wine, he didn't drink it, he just touched it, it's asr. And the Rishonim debate why. The Ramban and the Ran say that it's gzeiris chasnas. Chazal knew that wine is the drink through which people connect, and Chazal wanted to make sure that we stay away from the akum. So how did Chazal accomplish that? By saying, you know how far you have to distance yourself from the yayin of Akum, that even they can't touch it. Other Rishonim, the Ravid paskens that way, Tosfos paskens that way, said, no, that's all part of yayin Nesach. Stam Gzeira of Stam Yenom comes from yayin Nesach, and yayin Nesach is a Daraisa, so therefore Chazal said that Stam Yenom should be Osir. What's the Nafgamina? The Nafgamina says the way we began. If you say that it's because B'nai Sehem, so therefore, only in a case that if you say Mag, what would be the halacha if a guy touched the wine without any kavanah? What would be the halacha if a guy touched the wine without any kavanah? If you'll say it's because of Gzeir of Yayin Nesach, so wine that a guy touched is osur. Chazal made a gzeir, you can't touch it. But let's say you'll have wine that the guy touched, but he didn't even realize he was touching wine. According to those Rishonim, it may be mutter. Another interesting shaila. Very interesting shaila. What happens if you have wine? It's yayin mevushel. It's yayin mevushel. But the goy doesn't know it's yayin mevushel. There are many stories that I've been aware of where goy is drinking with you, and he's drinking wine, and he has bechlal no asaga that it's yayin mevushel. What would be the halacha? So Reb Shlomo Zalman held that the only heter you have for yayin mevushel is if the akum knows that the yayin is yayin mevushel. And it makes a lot of sense, because the whole purpose is to distance us and to show him, you can't drink, we can't drink the same wine. It has to be different wine. It has to be yayin mevushel. If the guy doesn't know that's yayin mevushel, so what did I accomplish? But I saw in the Shaios HaTshuvos, Kinyan Torah B'Halacha, a beautiful, beautiful raya, that even if the goy does not know that it's yayin mevushel, it's not a problem. What's his raya? The Gemara we began with. The Gemara said that Shmuel was sitting together with Avleit the goy, and the goy was scared to touch the wine until Rav told him until Shmuel told him, don't worry, it's yayin mevushel. So it's mashma that Shmuel didn't tell him up front that it's yayin mevushel. And he wasn't worried that he's going to touch the wine. If you have to tell the guy, as soon as they sat down by the table, Shmuel should have made an announcement to the guy, this wine is yayin mevushel. Is a raya zokter that even if the guy doesn't know that the yayin is yayin mevushel, you don't have to tell him, as in as he touched it and he drank it, it doesn't become usher. So now, there's a very big shaila. And let's talk for a moment, some metzius. Let's talk for a moment about some metzius. I tell people, you know, we're going to maybe get to it at the end of the shir, but everybody knows, especially when it comes to dalakaisis or kiddush, that you want to use wine that's not mevushel. That you want to use wine that's not mevushel. The Rambam says, it's really based on the Rambam that we just quoted, that wine that's for Kiddush should be wine that's royal and nasach agabe mizbeach. It's a wonderful chumrah. Although the Rama says that if the mevushel wine is better, drink the mevushel wine. But, you know, B'nai Torah especially, we're speaking here with B'nai Torah, want to be machmer, gewaldig. But if, as is the case in many homes, you have guests who are not from, or even if you don't have guests who are not from, you have cleaning help. Many people, comes Yontif, have cleaning help, and they're not Jewish. I tell all these people that don't bring into your house any wine that's not mevushel. You're asking for trouble. There are too many shilas. You know, people don't even think. You know, people have help. They get up from the Seder, and they're tired, it's late, and they have the cleaning help clean. And they take all the wine off the table. I could tell you at the OU, we certify restaurants, we certify caterers. There's no exception. I could tell you, mamish, no exception. We will never allow non-mevushel wine at any affair, at any restaurant. There were people that came to us, a restaurant. I remember I had the meeting with somebody who said, that, you know, I guess here there's no asogus to this, but you could buy a bottle of wine for $500. So it's kedai for him, he says, that he'll hire a special waiter, a shayma Shabbos, and the wine will only be poured by this shayma Shabbos waiter. And it's kedai for him, and what's the problems? We said, there's nothing to talk about. There's nothing to talk about. So he said, why? Why are you being so unreasonable? So we said two reasons. First of all, there's somebody sitting by a table. He's not from, he's not Jewish. He spent $500 on a bottle of wine. And he wants to see it. You know, for $500, you're entitled to see a bottle of wine. The minute he touches the wine, so what the little waiter is going to tell him, no, the rabbi in New York told me you can't touch your wine, that you just spent $500, go be masbert. And now, let's say we're masbert to him. You know why you can't touch it? Because you're not a Jew, or you're not religious, and you contaminate the wine. Tomorrow morning, we'll be on the front page of the New York Times, that we hold that the goyim contaminate our wine. So we don't have non-mevushal wine. And as I'm telling you, you really ought to be thinking about it in your homes. We don't, even if you're not using $500 bottle of wine. So the shaila is, what is mevushal? What is mevushal? So what is commonly used, what is the common method that is used by wine companies and grape juice companies to accomplish bishul is pasteurization. So let's talk about what is pasteurization and why are grape juice, why particularly grape juice and maybe wine would be pasteurized. Pasteurization, well, let's start from the beginning. I'm not a winemaker, but this much I know. How do you start with wine? That everybody knows. The Gemara says, Seichet Adam Eshko Shalanovim. You take a cluster of grapes and you squeeze it. And you start with grape juice. So you only have grape juice. You don't have wine yet. So what's the issue? In the grape juice, in the grapes, there's sugar. And that sugar ferments and turns into alcohol. And that's how you end up with wine. And different grapes had different amount of sugar. And there are different amount of time that you let it ferment. And that's how you get different types of wine. So now, you have an obvious question that I'm sure all of you are thinking about. So why, when you have grape juice, does your grape juice not turn into wine? You started with grape juice, where they squeeze the grapes. So why isn't your grape juice turning into wine? The reason is because they pasteurize the grape juice. And when you pasteurize, which is cooking, it's interesting, I saw a very interesting fact. Where does the word pasteurization come from? I saw it in one of Rabbi Grossman's Daf HaKashrus. Where does pasteurization come from? There was a famous scientist, Louis Pasteur, and he invented pasteurization. Where did he start? Where did he invent pasteurization? So we all think he invented pasteurization for milk. For milk. We thought he did it for milk because all milk is pasteurized. That's why your milk doesn't spoil. Wrong. He did pasteurization for wine. He lived in France. And he invented pasteurization for wine. Then they realized that it's a good idea to do it for milk also. But he started with pasteurization actually on wine. So you pasteurize your grape juice. So what are you doing when you pasteurize? You're cooking it. And when you're cooking it, you kill the bacteria that's in the grape juice, and that prevents fermentation. And that's how you have grape juice. So now the shaila is, grape juice must be pasteurized. Otherwise, all your grape juice will be wine. Wine doesn't have to be pasteurized. So now the shaila is, is pasteurization, which is at a high degree, considered mevushal? Is it considered that you cooked the wine? So Rabbi Yoshev has a shtickle Torah. Rabbi Yoshev says that we said at the beginning of our shir, there are 3 days in the Rishonim why Yayin Mevushal is not a problem. And he focuses on the Shitta of the Rosh. The Rosh said that Yayin Mevushal is not a problem because it's Einoi Shchiach. It's not common. Zogt Rebbe Yoshev, Heintige Zeiten, Yayin Mevushal, as I just said, grape juice. You can't have grape juice without pasteurization. So now it's Shchiach. So you don't have the heter of Eina Shchiach. And he brings 2 rayas to this yesod. 1 raya is from a Tosfos right here in our sugya on Daf Chof Beis Amud Beis. Tosfos says as follows. He says there was 1 year that no grapes ripened. No year, none of the grapes ripened. The only grapes that were left were Baiser. Baiser means inferior grapes. Small, inferior grapes that you can't really get good juice or good wine out of. Zokra Beit Tam, so what's going to be? That year, there won't be a problem of Stam Yenam because it's inferior wine. So Beit Tam says, Kenazayin. Kenazayin? Can't be that year we wouldn't have Stam, the guy won't use wine. They'll use what they get. So what do you see, says Rabbi Yoshev for Beit Tam, that what you use is what's considered wine. And if this year Baisa wine is wine, so then Baisa wine is a problem. And if next year they use regular wine, so regular wine will be Stam Yenam, and Baisa wine won't be. Dem Sadover is, it's a nice raya, But all the Rishonim argue in Rabbeinu Tam. All the Rishonim argue in Rabbeinu Tam, and they say inferior wine is not Shaykh to Stam Yenom. And if that's the only wine you have, so that's the only wine you have. That's one raya. Then he brings another raya, a raya from a Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish says that vegetables that are inferior vegetables, the Gemara says there's no issa svichin by Shemitah. Says the Chazon Ish, you know, as the years go by, what different vegetables we eat change. So says the Chazon Ish that the vegetables that there was a problem of svichim in the time of Chazal, maybe nowadays we wouldn't have a problem because they're not choshev vegetables. And vegetables that we have nowadays that are considered choshev but weren't choshev in the time of Chazal, we would have a problem of svichim. And Meila zok the Chazon Ish that you see, zok the Rabbi Yoshev, you see that these things change. And therefore, pasteurization now is what's common. You can't call it ein hashkiach. Most paiskim, I have to tell you, disagree with Rabbi Yoshev. Rav Shlomo Zalman, who we're going to quote, has a very important shuva on this subject, says that you can't paskin that way. You can't paskin that things change according to the style. That things change because the metzias changes. And he brings two very nice rayas. One raya, he says, that the whole halacha of ksamim is gebayt that they lived with lice. Nobody has lice in their home nowadays, but the halacha of ksamim doesn't change. And then he brings another raya, a Tosfos in Masechta Baba Basra. The Gemara says that there's no Isser Hatmana on Shabbos with sloim, with racks. Why? Because in those days, the pots, Tosfos explained, were made out of very weak, very inferior metal. And if you would put the pot with racks, your pot will get ruined. Mele Chazal didn't make a gzera of hatmana with sloim. Zok Tosfos, Tosfos says it already, Kal v'chomer nowadays, we already have very good metal. We have stainless steel. If you'll put stainless steel amongst racks, your stainless steel will be fine. So is the Isra Hatman applied by Sloim? Zok Tosfos of Adonish. Once Chazal said that there is no problem, there is no problem. So the Zelbazach Zok there here also. Once Chazal said that Yayim Mevushel is not Shaykh to the Gzeir of Stam Yenom, that's the rule. The rule doesn't change. The Emes Hadover is that even if you'll be Machmer on grape juice, because as I said earlier, all grape juice is pasteurized. By wine, you don't have Rabbi Yoshev's problem. Because wine typically is not mevushel. Part of the process of wine is not to pasteurize wine. A company that's pasteurizing wine is pasteurizing the wine because of us, that we should have yai mevushel. So even if you're going to say that it became shchiach, you can only say that on grape juice. You can't say that on wine. And Ma'ivar Rabbeisai, the truth of the matter is, even by grape juice, Nishvasirka is a chdingen of Rabbi Yoshev Chas v'Shalom, but even by grape juice, it's not the same. I checked actually as recently as this morning on the way here. I asked somebody who is very involved in the grape juice business. I said, when a non-Jewish company pasteurizes grape juice, at what degree do they pasteurize grape juice? So they told me that they would typically pasteurize grape juice at 175 degrees. That's enough to kill the bacteria, and you don't want to cook it more than you have to. So they pasteurize it at 175 degrees. I also checked, in preparation for the shear, how high do they pasteurize the grape juice in the companies that we give hashgacha to. There they pasteurize almost by boiling, at 210. So kum techois, it's not shchiach, because the shchiach, the way of making grape juice, is 175 degrees. We're pasteurizing the grape juice 35 degrees higher, at 210. So even if you're going to say that shchiach changes with the way products are produced, here you still wouldn't have a problem, because the shchiach that being used by the pasteurization on grape juice that we're using is not the pasteurization that goyim use. So again, just to review, Rabbi Yoshev held that pasteurization is considered nowadays shchiach, and therefore you don't have the heter. Most poskim disagree, and even if you want to be machmir for Rabbi Yoshev's concern, you don't have to be machmir for Rabbi Yoshev's concern if you hold that if our pasteurization is different than the pasteurization that they do, or by wine, they don't do pasteurization, so you have that. If your whole pasteurization is bishul, you're okay. I also have to say, it's very interesting. I found a tshuva in the Har Tzvi. You can look it up in Yoridei Simen Kuf Yud Aleph. The Har Tzvi says that the only heter of mevushel is yain shenoga by akum. We said a few minutes ago that if a goy touches your wine, it becomes asur. Zok the Har Tzvi. You know what the Shulchan Aruch means? That if a goy touches the wine, then it doesn't become asur b'hanor. But it doesn't mean you're allowed to drink it. A very big chumra. But we don't pass like the Har Tzvi. Why? Because there's a very big machloikus. If stam yenom, yayin nesach, again, those that learned the Gemara, we know is also not only b'shtiyah, but yayin nesach is also b'hanor. Stam yenom, we paskin is mutter b'hanor. So I don't need bishul for hanor, because it's anyway mutter b'hanor. So we hold that yayin mevushel is even mutter for shtiyah. So now, we continue in discussing yayin mevushel. So, as I quoted earlier in the shir, the words of the Shulchan Aruch, that yayin that was cooked is mutter, emesai nikra mevushel, m'shesiach agabe yeish, from when it was cooked. The shach on the spot says, her siach means shenesmat, that you cooked it. You know, if you cook something in a pot, it will begin to evaporate. So zok the shach, it's not considered a siach until it evaporates. So now, let's talk about pasteurization. It's a little daunting for me to do this in the company of Rabbi Jorvel, probably the biggest maven in these inyanim, but I'll tell you what he taught me. Rabbi Jorvel explained to me that how does pasteurization work? There's a machine that's called HTST. HT stands for high temperature, ST stands for short time. You put the wine or whatever beverage, it's not just wine, it's orange juice or it's any juice or it's milk, into a pasteurizer that on the side of the liquid there are tubes with hot liquid in those tubes, and the wine or whatever beverage that's going between the tubes, because it has hot on both sides, gets hot quickly, and then right away it cools down quickly, and that's why it's not really cooked for a long time. But this is an entirely, I got it right? What do you call it? This is an entirely closed system. Since it's an entirely closed system, there's no room for pasteurization. There's no room for the wine to go anywhere. There's no evaporation. Evaporation, you only have if it takes time and it's open, so it could evaporate out. Here it's very quick in a completely closed environment. So the Paiskim want to say, pasteurization can't be mevushel, because the Shach says it has to be nesmat al gabeish. So how do the Paiskim that rely on pasteurization deal with this issue? So even Rav Shlomo Zalman, who's a machmer, Rav Shlomo Zalman's approach is, he says, when the Shach says it has to be in the smat al gabe eish, it doesn't mean that it physically you have to start with this much liquid and then end up with less liquid. It has to be that it could be in the smat. The fact that you're in a closed environment, so there's nowhere for the wine or for the vapor to disappear, doesn't mean it wasn't the smat. It was in the smat. It didn't have where to escape. That's enough to be considered nismat. Ramosha has three tshuvas on this issue. Ramosha and the tshuva says, he knows that if something is cooked, it's going to be nismat. That's the metzias, whether you see it or you don't. So according to Ramosha, you certainly have no problem. On the other hand, I have to tell you that the darki tshuva here in Simen Kuf Chav Gimel, takes a very strict approach. And his approach is that it has to be completely changed. And if your wine doesn't change in taste significantly because of the bishul, you can't call it Yayim HaVashul. So Rav Shlomo Zalman, as I said earlier, has a very long tshuva on this subject, and he takes a very strict approach. And the reason he takes is that, number one, he says it has to be maybe nismat. Number two, he says it has to be nicker that it was mavushal. You have to see the maisa bishul. Number three, he says that it has to be a change in tam, according to the Meiri and according to other Rishonim. And number four, as I said before, that it has to be nismat. Lamais, it's not nismat. And he says, according to some Rishonim, you have to start with one min and end with another min. There's really no difference, he says, between wine that was pasteurized and wine that was not pasteurized. As I said, Rav Moshe takes a very different approach. Rav Moshe in the tshuvas, he has, as I said, three tshuvas about it. In two of the tshuvas, he says, as soon as the wine is mevushal to 175 degrees, even through pasteurization, the halacha is that you could be mekel. I found another tshuva where Rav Moshe says even 165 would be enough. Because Rav Moshe held that you don't have to have mamash ma'isa bishul. As soon as it comes to a category of Hayat Seledes, which certainly 175 degrees, everybody would agree is Yat Seledes boy, that's enough to be considered mevushal for the halachas of Yayin mevushal. And that's why Rav Moshe was Mekel, and so too was the opinion of Rav Adya Yosef Zatzal. The Shevet Alevi, Rav Ozner, and also Rav Demichas Yitzchak, also Anoita Lahokal, their opinion is, particularly for Stam Yenom, which is not the same as Yayin Nesach, which is not Osa Bahana, there we can rely on pasteurization. But there's a few more interesting facts that I'd like to discuss before I conclude the shiur. One is, there's another way, very interesting, that companies, particularly companies, I very often get questions. You're sitting eating something, and you do something that many people don't do anymore. You look at the ingredients on the product that you're eating. And this happens, somebody's sitting at home, they're eating whatever they're eating, and they're looking at the ingredient panel, and Severatz Schwarz Verdeugen, they see grape juice on the ingredient panel. And maybe they think that we at the OU don't know the halach of Stam Yenom. So I'm in the middle at home eating supper or learning or whatever, and I get an emergency call. I just realized that the fruit roll-ups that I gave to my children have grape juice. We know it has grape juice. And there's a lot of grape juice that none of you will ever see, industrial grape juice, that is available that we make with Ashgacha. And I just want to help you understand what that means when we make grape juice or wine with Ashgacha, just to give you a hasaga. The hasaga means like this. We come to a factory. When I say a factory, it means all over the world, not just New York, and not just California, and not just Washington State, and not just Eretz Yisrael, but South Africa, and Australia, and New Zealand, and Argentina, and Hungary, and all over the world. And we take over the winery. When we take over the winery, the first thing we do is we have to kasher it. After we kasher it, we send all the goyim home. We send all the goyim home. And the Yidin take over the Mashgichim take over the entire winery from the beginning of the production until, as we're discussing, until the pasteurization. Then I'll let it get close to any of the machinery, then I'll get close to any of the wine, because otherwise you would have a real problem of Stam Yenom. And I have to tell you, there's a real problem with this. What's the problem with this? What time of the year do grapes get ripe? All grapes get ripe in North America, here, Sukkot time. And you can't, and once they're ripe, they're ripe. You gotta get to them because you can't leave them on the tree because we have to dance hakafas. And we have places that there are mashgichim sitting in these wineries, 8 days of Sukkot. We build a Sukkot there and they have praving Sukkot because otherwise we won't have wine and grape juice. So one of the eitzes that we came up, a new eitzah, it's not really our eitzah, but it's an interesting eitzah, and this everybody agrees would work, is that they cook the grapes before they even start crushing them. So that everybody would agree is mavushal, and then from the beginning of the process, you have no problem. But that's not the normal way that you do things. Now, so now that we made the wine that way, so the shaila is, how is wine made? So as I said, you crush the grapes, and many people ask the question, probably one of the most popular questions, Rabbi Grossman says, Rabbi Nussbaum gets 500 questions a day before Pesach, probably 200 of them are, could I put water into the grape juice? Everybody wants to know, could I put water into the grape juice? So first let me give you the metzias of the grape juice, and then I'll tell you what the Pesachim say. So there's a very interesting metzias on grape juice regarding the Kedem grape juice. That means the OU, the two popular brands of grape juice that we certify are Manischewitz Welch. All the Manischewitz Welch grape juice is pasteurized at 210 degrees. The Kedem grape juice is pasteurized also at 210 degrees. The only exception is the big glass bottle, the 50.7 ounce bottle. That is pasteurized not at 175, not at 210, and not at 175. It's in the high 150s. In the privacy, I don't know if you could say the privacy here, but Rebbe Lebelsky wasn't so happy to call that not mavushal. Lebelsky wasn't so happy because he said, we're machmer that above 120 maybe is already considered yatzaledis, but they said that Rav Moshe told them that if it's below 165, it's not considered mavushal. So based on that, it's called not mavushal. The other mile of that grape juice is, we don't necessarily have time for that in today's shiur, is that there's no concentrate in that glass bottle. So if you're worried about concentrate in your grape juice, there's no concentrate in that. And the other grape juices, there may be. So now, going back to the question, how much water could you put into the grape juice? So I actually heard this week a very interesting psak l'chumra from Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal. He said the din of meziga, the Gemara speaks very often about meziga, five parts water, one part wine, is only by wine. Rav Yaakov held that you cannot be moiza grape juice. You can't be moiza grape juice. And the male, according to Rav Yaakov, you can't put any water into the grape juice. There's a tshuva in the last chelik of the Shaila of Tshuva Shevet Alevi, chelik Yud Aleph. It's a tshuva that's actually written to the Herzogs from Kedem. He was Makel, and he held that grape juice has the same din as wine, and you could be moizig grape juice. He says, apidin, you could be moizig at even five parts water and one part grape juice. He says, but he doesn't know if you should do that, because at that point it won't taste like grape juice, it won't look like grape juice, it's really going to be water. So he says, you could be moizig up to there, as long as it still looks and tastes like grape juice. And the same shall would be for our gofen. What about wine? Wine doesn't have concentrate in it, and wine doesn't have water in it. So you don't have those problems with wine. So there, we tell people that they can be moizik up to a third of the wine with water. The one place that you should not be moizik with any water, l'chol adeis, is light grape juice. They make light grape juice. It's made for people who are diabetic. They're already putting in as much water as you could get into that grape juice. Don't add any water to that grape juice. Another interesting shaila, I discussed it in my shiur this morning. A very interesting shaila. What would be the halacha like this? You have by your table, you invited to your, I told you not to do this, but let's say you did it anyway. You invited to your seder somebody who's not from, and you have wine by the table that's not mevushel. So now he decides, let's say that's the only wine or whatever, he decides that's the wine that he wants to drink. So now the shaila is, are you allowed to give him that wine? Are you over lifnei iver? Because you're giving him wine, he's not a shomer Shabbos. Are you allowed to give a not shomer Shabbos wine to drink that he's not allowed to drink? A very interesting shaila. So I found the Rav Moshe Sternberg Shlita in the Shalas of Tshuvas, Tshuvas van Hagas, Chelik Aleph, Simen Tuf Ayin Gimel, discusses the shaila. And he says, very interestingly, he says, first he says that he asked the shaila to the stipler, and he quotes, and the stipler answered him, it's often a Gemara. The stipler says, there's a Gemara Masechta Chulin Daf Pei Zayin, where the Gemara says the Rebbe was sitting with a tzedoki, and Rebbe gave the tzedoki a kosh shel yayin to bench, that he shall lead the benching. The wine wasn't mavushal. So you see that you're allowed to give a person to drink wine, even though he's not from wine that's not mavushal. And he says a very, and Rav Moshe Sternberg says a very interesting svara. He says, what's the svara? He says, why is stam yayin a mosel? He says, stam yayin a mosel is because a chazal made a gzeira mishum b'nai sehem. Zokter, mishum b'nai sehem means that I should not have shaychis with a goy, I shouldn't have shaychis with a not from yid. So how do chazal break that shaychis? The way chazal break that shaychis is I can't drink wine with him, only yayim avushal. You can't tell a person not to have shaychus with himself. So therefore, he himself is allowed to drink wine that's not mevushel, and you're not over lifnei iver if you give him that wine. Another, and this will be the last shaila, another very interesting question.
There's no iser on a prior year to drink.
Okay. The emes hadover is, there's one more very important point to make. You know, I still feel comfortable in what I did, but especially with not from Yidden, there is a famous tshuva from the Binyan Tzion. It's Yiduah that the Chazon Ish quoted this Binyan Tzion very often, that he held that the Fry Yidden nowadays are all Tinnik Shenishvas. And the truth is that Rav Ozner uses that as a chelik of why he's makel on a not from Yid touching wine that was pasteurized. Because he says, if you rely on the Binyan Tzion, it's not a problem because the Tinnik Shenishvas. The last time I was here, we were speaking a lot about different psukim from Rabelski Zatzal. So even though it was 2 years ago, I want to tell you over one more psak from Rabelski, which is very negaya to the subject of wine. And that is, many people call us and they want to know you have this very low alcohol wine. Very, very low alcohol wine. Could you be yotze? Is that considered wine? You want to use wine for kiddush or for the dalakaisis? Is very low alcohol wine fine? And Rabelski, Kederuch Rabelski, had a very shmaka raya. What was Rabelski's raya that it is? He says, if you know anything about making wine, the highest alcohol content wine could ever get to is about 15-16%. Am I right, Rabbi Shane? About 15-16%. But what do we just say the Gemara says? They were moizik the wine, 5 parts water, and 1 part wine. So if you take 15-16% and you divide it into 6 parts, how much alcohol will you have? You'll have about 3% alcohol. So Rabelski said that in those days, no, Rabelski said it can't get higher. That's the Matzias, it can't get higher. Because why would it be different then? There's only that much sugar in the grape. That's what Rabelski told us. In Mitzvah Shem, on Motzai Shabbos, we're going to start counting the Sfira. And we all know, the Pasuk says, Usfartam Lechem Mimachras HaShabbos. And this was the basis for the big problem between us and the Tzedakim, they thought Shabbos meant Shabbos. We say Shabbos means Yontif. So all the Mefarshim say, Taka, why does the Torah say a word Shabbos, which is misleading and causes us machlokes? The Torah should have said, Mimachas HaPesach, Mimachas Yontif, and we wouldn't have that problem. So there's a medrash, a very interesting medrash. The medrash says, you know why Klal Yisrael was zoicha to get Eretz Yisrael? Because b'schus ha'omer. B'schus ha'omer we got Eretz Yisrael. It's a very shver medrash. The omer only began after we got Eretz Yisrael. So what's the medrash saying that b'schus ha'omer we got Eretz Yisrael? There was no omer before Eretz Yisrael. So I saw a beautiful vort. What is the lesson of the omer? The lesson of the omer is that our panosa doesn't come from ourselves. Our panosa comes from the Eibishter. The omer, the food that we eat, all comes from the Eibishter. Zok the Medrash, you know when Klal Yisrael, Zoyach Eretz Yisrael, when they learn the lesson of the omer. When else do you have the same lesson? Shabbos. Shabbos, a Yid doesn't work on Shabbos. We just learned in the Daf Yomi today, Goyim can't understand how a Yid comes on Shabbos, how a Yid comes on Shabbos and he stops. The Goyim don't, Issa Giyura said, when we were Goyim, he said, we used to speak about how could Yidin stop to work on Shabbos? So I saw from the Lutzker Rav, Rav Zalman Sirotskin, that's Pshat, what the Pasuk says, Kedoshim to you. The Eibush to infuse Klal Yisrael with Kedusha, that we could say that we're not going to work. Why? Because we believe everything comes from the Eibishter. So that's why we were Zaycha Tar Omer. And that's what Pesach is about. And that's what Shabbos is about. And that's why every time a Yid sits down to eat, that's what he's supposed to be thinking about. The food comes, the food that we eat comes from the Eibishter. And that will be Mechazak Amuna, that we should take a Bizaycha to see the Eibishter, to see Mashiach Tzakenu, Meher B'Yameinu.